before the feast this last year, I decided to go on a diet. And there was a book there in our house, and I was going through it on diets. And as I was reading through it, something was brought up in this book that kind of stuck and made an impression on me. Because it talks about you can go on diets, you can shed the weight, and then you can turn around and gain it back. And, of course, that's been pretty much the history that I've had. You know, you lose it and then you gain it back. But it said in there that if you didn't change the way you eat or your lifestyle, you would program yourself to fail. And I had to think back on the many times before I'd been on diet. And that was true. I could lose it in the short term, go on a real strict diet. You could lose the 10, 15 pounds in a matter of a couple weeks and shed it. But then when you go back and you start to eat the things that you ate before, it's just a matter of time until you put that weight back on. And I want to use that example on what we've been called to, because you and I have been called to a lifestyle change. We've been called out of this world, and we've been called to do and to change our lives. In John 6:44, and I'll quote, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." It's God the Father who's called us to this change of life. It was not something that we consciously did. Yes, we may have been looking for the truth, but God had to actually open that door and invite us in to have that opportunity. In Acts, the second chapter, and verse 38, Peter called on the congregation to repent and to be baptized. Acts, the second chapter, and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And he goes on to say, "For this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So we see that when he calls individuals, he also calls their family. And that was my case. When my mother was called and we started attending the Church of God back in 1964, I tagged along. I was 12 years old. And as I sat there, I heard the same sermons that everyone else in the congregation did as they went through, and they started to tell us different things of how to follow God's way of life. And one of the first things we learned was about the dietary. The animals, clean and unclean, that we could eat. And of course, when we first started attending, we had just gotten back to my grandfather's, and he'd given us a half of a pig we had in our freezer, which I believe my mother gave to one of her brothers, passed it on. But in that time frame, you know, we're starting to put things out of our lives. I was over at one of my aunts and uncles one day, and I'd been out playing with my cousins, and we came in and we were hungry, and I sat down, and the first thing that landed on my plate, or what we were having for the meal, was pork chops. Now, I sat there and I knew, because it had been explained to me, that that was not something that I should partake of. But yet, I was hungry, and I was a little bit intimidated because I was sitting there in front of my aunt and uncle and my cousins, and nobody else there. My mom wasn't there to tell them, so I succumbed and had that pork chop. Well, I've come a long ways from there. A couple, 3 years ago, Gail and I were at a dinner, which we paid a nice chunk of change for. It was an auction, Salvation Army. We go to it every year, and you have to put out like $60, and it's a fundraiser. And so I don't mind doing that. It's where the ladies' retreat is, and so we try to support that. And always before, they'd had like a fish or a chicken or a steak, and you'd choose which one you like. Well, I golfed that afternoon. I came in. I knew I had a dinner sitting there, so I hadn't eaten at the golf course. I was very hungry. And I sat down, and they were serving pork chops. And that was what it was. It was a nice, big, thick pork chop about this big, and they put that in front of me. And I was sitting with a group of individuals. One was a builder here in town that I knew and his parents. And I was hungry. And I knew they didn't know what I ate and what I didn't eat, and I wasn't about to explain it to them. But I ate my salad, and I picked through the vegetables that were on the plate, and I left that big pork chop sitting there. And they all looked at us, because Gail didn't eat hers either. So I had to hold her back, but you know, we managed not to eat that. But, you know, I had grown. I'd come to a point in my life that I could turn it down. And it's because I had changed the way my thinking was. And God had to give me, you know, probably 30-some years before He put that temptation back in front of me. I might tell you how strong I am, but, you know, I mean, the thing is, I had changed my lifestyle, and it started back when I was 12 years old. I started to participate and follow God's laws. Now, not always, as I've shown you, was I perfect. Did I actually accomplish and overcome what was put in front of me as a test? At that time, I was vulnerable and I succumbed to the temptation. But God called each and every one of us. Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Because we've been called to a way of life. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. So in other words, we came, we didn't know, and we've come into now the church of God. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, we now have and are the sons of God. Through the sacrifice, He paid the price and the penalty for our sins, so that we could have an opportunity and a hope in the future. So we've been given an opportunity, you and I, to have a lifestyle change, one with God involved. So how do we stay the course? Well, as with a diet, the first point I have is we are accountable for the way we live our lives. Just as in a diet, we have a scale that we get on once a week or however often we choose to. They advise you to do it once a week. They have books that you can keep track of what you eat and how much. You can count it, and you know at the end of the day whether you blew it. In other words, we become accountable to what we're set out to do. And our success in a diet depends on how we go about accomplishing that. God's given us the example. He's shown us His way, and we too are accountable for our actions. Let's go to Galatians, the 6th chapter, which is just back one page from Ephesians. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. As in a diet, what you eat is what you'll be. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are accountable each day to God for what we do in our lives. And we are not accountable to Him. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. For God, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. In other words, God sees everything. We can hide things from others. We can do things. But God sees everything. He understands our weaknesses because Jesus Christ came to this earth. He knows what temptation is. He understands it. And He knows that we are weak in the flesh. Let's go to Romans, the 14th chapter. And verse 10. Romans 14 and verse 10. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Someday in the future, we're going to stand in front of our Creator, Jesus Christ, and we're going to have to give account for every thought, everything we've said, everything that we've done. So we too are accountable. Just as if we were on a diet, the different things that we choose to eat, the reward depends on what we don't eat, how we alleviate those things from our lives. And the same thing is true. We need to make sure that we are walking in the right way. The second point I have is learn to control your environment. In a diet, you have choices. Some people use a carbohydrate diet. Some people count points. Others count calories. In other words, you take and you look at the things that your body uses to store fat. You know, and I've done that. I've taken and I made a list of different things. I know what things I need to stay away from to be able to lose weight. I'm one of these guys that likes salt and fat. That's butter, anything that's, you know, greasy and salty. That's my downfall. when I buy a bag of Lay's potato chips, I don't care if it's a small bag or a large bag, I go till the bottom is there, you know? So, you know, I can identify. I can say, okay, you know, here's a weakness that I have. And, you know, it's one of those, you know, you just can't eat one. That's right. I mean, I can stop at the end of the bag, but, you know, that's before I open the next one. But, you know, that's one of my weaknesses, and I know it, and I can identify to it. And I have to stay away from things that tempt me that way because I don't stop. You know, everybody kids me about having some bread with my butter. And it's because I like to taste the butter, so, I mean, I put enough on there so that, you know, it's covered. And you can barely see the bread. So, you know, these are things that I have to stay away from. Those are things that I have to put aside and stay away from. I have to put other things there if I'm hungry, like celery or carrots or things that I can go and get to replace those things, or fruit. And so those are things that you have to learn to control your diet. You don't go to the food store when you're hungry. You go after you've eaten, so you're not buying those extra things that will not work to help you lose weight. And those are the same things that you and I face each day with sin and changing our lifestyle and walking away from the ways of this world. Let's go back. This world is inviting. And I'm not saying that everything, I mean, we live in this world, there's a lot of good things that we can do to participate and to be a part of where we are now. But there are other things that we are to walk away from. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Let's take a look at Satan and what he's done and what he's doing to this world. In Genesis 3 and verse 1, let's go back to how Satan got to Eve and Adam. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' So he asked the question, 'Isn't it all right?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die. You will not surely die,' says verse 5, 'for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Satan lied to him, or to Eve. But what Satan did, he made this fruit very good to look upon. Advertising. He laid out this advertising promotion and said, "Here you are. You take of this fruit, you'll be like God." It's inviting. It's tempting. You and I each day, if you watch TV, if you read the newspapers, if you go through magazines, Satan the devil is selling his wares today. This world is being sold into Satan's deception. He is probably the best advertising agent out there, and he knows how to sell his wares. When things are conservative, he pushes the envelope. You go back in just the short history of the United States, and you look how far we've come from conservatism to liberalism. Satan takes his time. He doesn't need to change the world in one day, or in one week, or in one year. He's been working at it for 6,000 years, and God has stop that at times because it was going too fast or too slow for his purpose. But now, as we end, it's becoming closer, the end of the age. His advertising is going to pick up, and we're going to see more and more of it. Advertising is used to get you to buy something, to make it so appealing that you want it. And people want you to come into their store and to purchase that. And that's exactly what Satan does too to the rest of this world. He makes his way of life so inviting by putting it out there each day for us to see and tempt us with, that pretty soon he wears us down. Let's go to 1 John, the 5th chapter. Because we need to learn to control our environment. In other words, we need to be able to put those things out . Now, I'm not saying if you see a good deal on a stereo, don't go buy it. I mean, advertising can be used to let you know that there are some good deals out there. But, you know, you think about it. See how they advertise Las Vegas. What goes on here stays here. In other words, you can go down here and you can be bad. You can do anything you want. Nobody's going to know. But we are accountable to God. Let's go to 1 John 5 and verse 19. I'm in Corinthians. That doesn't work. First John 5, and verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. He admonishes us to keep ourselves from the ways of this world, the temptations that are out there that are being advertised every day. You look at the casinos that are in Las Vegas. They got built on people's losses. But they advertise it that you can win millions. You know, you plug that machine with a nickel, you could win $1 million or a silver dollar in the slot. They may make it look attractive. And this is the way Satan works. He makes his way of life, which is contrary to God's way, look appealing. He advertises it that way. And yet, it takes us toward the road of destruction, rather than toward God. Let's go to Romans now, the 6th chapter, and verse 1. Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in newness of life. When we were baptized, we were given a new life, a new lifestyle that we've been called to. And also our family. that we have that are still at our home that we may be raising and teaching of God's ways now. That's something that we've been called to and that we've accepted and that we need to continue on in. Let's drop down to verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We need to be living a lifestyle that Jesus Christ would live, and He's given us the example. A lot of people, theologians, religious people, put aside a lot of the examples of Jesus Christ. They do His things, but if they look at the example that Jesus Christ led, it's hard to refute the holy days, the Sabbath. It's hard to say that you don't have to do other things that people walk away from keeping the law. They don't look at the example of Christ. They're thankful for His sacrifice. They're thankful that He came and that that He has sacrificed Himself for the whole world, because we all eventually will have a chance to repent and have that sacrifice cover all mankind's sins, except for those that refuse it. As we learn to control our environment, God has also given us a tool, and that is His Holy Spirit. Let's go to Galatians, the second chapter, and verse 20. Some people are compulsive gamblers. Others are compulsive spenders. There's a lot of compulsions that we as individuals have that our emotions are played on, and sometimes we have to go for help. Alcoholism, different things. People have to, because they cannot control the things that they do, they have to seek help. And God knows this, and He said, I am here for you. Let's go to Galatians, the second chapter, and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The Spirit that we have is Christ in us. It comes from God the Father through Jesus Christ to us. Let's turn to John, the 14th chapter. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. This is Jesus Christ as He's talking to His apostles before His crucifixion, and He's telling them that He's going to send them something to help them. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Christ promised the apostles His Spirit before He left them, something to give them to be able to overcome, a tool to be able to control the environment that we live in. Let's go to Luke 11, verse 10. Satan is very devious. He has many ways to lure us, to attract us, to continually work on us to go His way through temptations and through our weaknesses that He knows we have. He is the accuser of the brethren. He knows when you fail, and He brings that up in front of God the Father. Luke 11, verse 10. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. He goes on to say, if a son asks for bread from his father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We can go to God and ask for His Spirit to help us through what we go through each and every day. The temptations that we face, the weaknesses that we have. We just don't do it on our own willpower. We do it with God's help. And we need to rely on Him to help us so that we have the strength to turn something down. The first time the pork chop was on my plate, I didn't have that. The second time, 30-some years later, I did. And it didn't bother me to walk away from it. And I learned it as a youth. There's another thing in diet that they recommend that you do, and that's to exercise. Helps kick up your metabolism, helps you burn fat. I work out sometimes more than others at the gym at 24 Hour Fitness. I'm not going to tell you I'm there every night, but some weeks are better than others, depending on what's going on. But I've met an individual there. He's actually the son of an employee of mine. He's in his early 30s, and he's been a weightlifter for a number of years. And he's pretty buff and watches what he eats continually. Has a little bit of fat. I mean, you can't see his what he calls his six-pack on his abdomen. So, but each year when summer starts rolling around, because he likes to slice off his muscles, he puts himself on a little more stringent diet, and he starts to walk. He doesn't want to burn muscle, so he's not going to run down the road. He doesn't want to burn too much muscle. He just goes out and he walks every morning for 45 minutes at a pace where he elevates his heart just enough to the point that they have a maximum fat burn. And this is what he does to lose that fat. Now, of course, he's got a lot of muscle there, so it doesn't take him as long to burn that fat as it does me, because I don't have as much muscle. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you don't have to go out and do a lot of exercise to burn that fat. You need to kick it up, and you need to consistently work at it and do it. You and I must exercise God's way of life each and every day to be successful, to change our lifestyle, or to continue in the lifestyle of God. Let's go to 1 John 2. First John, the second chapter, and verse 1. My little children, these things I write you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So each day, God knows whose are His children. He can look out and He can see those that are striving to keep his commandments, who are following his way of life. And he tells us that if we do fall down, if we do sin, if this temptation comes up, his sacrifice is there. We need to repent, pick ourselves up, and move on. It's kind of like going to the refrigerator and there's a big cake in there, or there's a bag of potato chips in the cupboard. You eat it. You don't go out and buy another one. You throw it away and you don't buy the next bag. Or you don't buy that cake again. I mean, the things that are out there that tempt us, we don't put them in front of us. We not only exercise. We work at doing God's way of life. Of continually, through Bible study and prayer, staying close to Him, reminding us of the ways to walk, the ways of God. Verse 4, he says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." In other words, we're to follow the example that Jesus Christ led here on this earth. That's exercising God's way of life. And it's a change in a lifestyle that this world is not accustomed to. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22, "that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man which was created accordingly to God in righteousness and true holiness." We have to be consistently in our conduct being like Jesus Christ. It's not something that's optional. It's something that we've been called to. And he gives us a lot of instruction in the Bible that we can hold ourselves up to and look at. Let's just go to Galatians, the 5th chapter. He gives examples of those things that you would find somebody that's a Christian doing. Galatians 5 and verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." We see that we can go and we can find what the fruit of the Spirit is. We can take and you can ask at the end of the day, did I have love, joy, and peace? Was I a grump? Did I offend somebody? Did somebody offend me and I retaliated? Did I have self-control over my emotions and my life? This world, we see more road rage. We see more people that are upset with things that happen. People get out and shoot others. It's just this world is letting go of self-control. But it's something that we need to have. It's something that we need to practice. Godly self-control. To control our emotions, our lives, and what we do. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Once we were baptized, we became a new person. We took on Jesus Christ. He became part of us. That spirit that comes from God through Christ is in us. We're a new creation. We have help through that Holy Spirit to overcome. Verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, or Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. In other words, we are to go out and represent Jesus Christ each and every day. Just as an ambassador would represent the nation of the United States to other nations, we are to represent God and our family that we have become part of. Continuing on in verse 20, as through God was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ gave his life so that we could have and be a part of God's family. His blood covered our sins, but he also had to come and go away so that we could receive the Holy Spirit, something that was not offered to mankind before Jesus Christ died. Well, brethren, today we've taken a look and we've used examples of what diet can do to change our life as far as our physical being. But we've also seen now examples that we can use can also change our own life so that we can become more like God. The days of unleavened bread are coming upon us. Days in which we will take and examine our life. We will be admonished to look. It's the night we come to at Passover. We come once a year and we renew with God our dedication to be part of his family. We take of the bread and the wine, and it reminds us that his sins have covered our faults for this past year, and we partake to become a part of his body and stay a part of that body each year. Brethren, let's make sure our lifestyle is an example that Jesus Christ would be proud of. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Like a diet, it's a change of lifestyle, something that we have to do day in and day out. If we fall down one day, we don't throw it in the trash can. We pick up and we go on. And the same thing applies in our daily lives as Christians. If we fall down, if we slip, we repent, but then we get back on track and we do the things we know that we need to do to be an example of Jesus Christ.